his point is that the United States is now going to take a much broader approach to counterterrorism, is going to try to mitigate some of the, what he calls the upstream causes of extremism, which the Bush administration also tried to do somewhat, though it wasn't highly publicized. But the main thing is to go after Al-Qaeda as a small minority, he called it a death cult, that won't warp the entire foreign policy of the United States. I mean, we are still going to fight terrorism. Al-Qaeda is still an enemy. But we have many more levers of power to combat extremism. We can't allow this very, very small group to determine our relations with the Muslim world. And we're just going to take a much more subtle and nuanced approach to battling terrorism, extremism, and potential violence against the American homeland. That is it in a nutshell. I think I've summarized.
And that is exactly what I keep hearing. And in fact, I was watching the Secretary of State on one of the programs over the weekend talking about, they're not going to allow the enemy to define how they deal with these issues. They want to define how these issues get dealt with.
Precisely. And he said so in about so many words. We are going to take the initiative. He's speaking in a much more psychological aspect. I mean, we've changed our stance towards the Muslim world. Obama's outreach to the Muslim world, I think, has had an effect. And what it's done is it's mobilized and encouraged moderates who might otherwise not have said anything to take to the streets and to repudiate the kind of extremism that Al-Qaeda represents. And where we saw this most broadly was in Iran, which I think the opposition was encouraged by the fact that there was an American on the other side to whom they might talk, and that encouraged them to have faith in their own electoral process, which of course was disappointed in the end. But I think it's encouraged moderate Muslims around the world who don't have a bias against the West not to let the entire Muslim civilization be hijacked by this small group of crazy people.
So what does this mean in terms, in the sort of the real day-to-day terms of actually securing the homeland, of being out there in the State Department, of diplomacy, all those kinds of, how does this change how we U.S. are going to behave?
Well, I think the first thing, and he made this pretty clear, Al-Qaeda is the target. And he said we've degraded Al-Qaeda a great deal. They've lost their second and third tier members. Of course, I asked them about Osama bin Laden and Ayman al-Zawahiri, who are the number one and number two in Al-Qaeda, and he mentioned Osama only briefly in passing. We're still going to go over after them, but they're not going to dominate our thoughts on this subject. So the war on terror or the conflict with Al-Qaeda will continue until that organization is destroyed or neutralized. However, it's going to be a much broader outreach. And we will not see our partners and other countries through a lens of you're with us or against us. You're either for the United States or you're for the terrorists. This is not the approach we'll take anymore, and that's going to infuse our diplomacy. You can see us trying to reset our diplomatic relations around the world, not only with Middle Eastern countries, and we'll continue in a much more nuanced and a much more subtle and a much more diplomatic way to combat extremism and ultimately defeat Al-Qaeda.
And you're hearing out there a lot of the opponents of this thinking saying that the administration is a little bit naive as to the ways of the world.
Oh, absolutely. And Vice President Dick Cheney was the foremost proponent of this. But when the war against terror was taken up, there was a book that came out called An End to Evil. And I think in many ways this described our war on terror much more accurately. We weren't just trying to end Al-Qaeda, and we weren't just trying to end terrorism. We were trying to end evil in the world, which is more than any country can do. Evil will always be with us. And along those lines, Brennan thinks that terrorism, which is a means to an end, not really an end in itself, will always be with us. But what we can do is we can sort of dry up the swamp, as Bush had said, but do it in a way that's much more subtle and much more friendly, really, to Muslim countries and Muslims around the world than this, you know, for us or against us, black or white, ideologically driven approach that we had before.
And in a way, during the Bush years, there was a lot of frustration about the war on terrorism because, as you say, terrorism is a method. All sorts of people have used terrorism. Some we agree with, some we don't. The question is, what we're really against are the evildoers, or however we choose to describe them.
Right. Well, you know, Brennan says that we can't call this a war because a war is an all-out effort against the known enemy. And people have said this before, but what's happening now is there's a sort of a scramble in intellectual circles of what to call it. Is it an overseas contingency operation? Well, that seems a bit narrow. The former White House counterterrorism advisor, Fran Townsend, I asked her this directly once. She says it's not a struggle. So, you know, what is it? She calls it a conflict. We haven't quite characterized it in a way that everybody can agree, but there is a continuing effort, without a doubt, and Brennan made this very clear, against Al-Qaeda. Those are the guys we have to stop.
Perfect. I know you want to touch base on one other topic area, and let's do that quickly.
Okay. If you want. I mean, if we've used...
Yeah, we have about a minute left, so if you want to touch base on... And unfortunately, I didn't write it down, so...
It's on swine flu.
Oh, yeah, swine flu. That's right. All sorts of... and in fact, I was... they're just testing the swine flu vaccine right now and hope to have it in production by this fall.
That's right. And then last week, what we had was Kathleen Sebelius and Janet Napolitano released a new guidelines for schools so that when a kid comes down with swine flu in the fall, rather than, you know, completely let out the entire school, the strategy is to just send that individual home. And I think this is based on the experience in Japan, where they did close schools if a kid got swine flu. And then what they discovered was that the kids were congregating anyway. They were getting together
right.
In malls and on playgrounds. So you weren't...
Ah, those kids.
Spread. What?
Oh, those kids.
Yeah, well, you know, it was thinking along adult lines. They forgot that they're going to congregate anyway. So it's better to send somebody home. And the guidelines also give local schools a lot of flexibility to deal with their individual situations. So that was a development.